explained last week, we voluntarily shut down because we're putting up tents that burst for health. Graduations are no more. Weddings are postponed or no more. And vacations are gone that we had all planned for this summer. Then all of a sudden, on Monday, comes this video of a man named George Floyd. Was he even arrested? That a police officer had stayed on his neck until he was dead. And now we're seeing what's happened. Now, I'm going to be the first one to say there are 600,000 police officers in the United States. There are 600,000 clergy in the United States as well. Clergies make mistakes, and so do police officers, but please don't put us all in the same boat. A police officer is going to pay a heavy price, as the Floyd family and as many other families are as well. How do you praise God in the midst of it? We've come to find out that George Floyd was a Christian. He was heavily involved with his church, and I don't know why he was doing that. I've heard a lot of stories. How do you praise God in this? And of course, we watched what was happening downtown Fort Wayne. The fire department, part of Darwin's coming, his adrenaline's running. Boy, you got to run. Best thing to do is stay away. But you know, this is nothing new. You know that? There are people saying it's the beginning of the end, the beginning of the end times. I don't know. It could be. The Bible says no one knows the day nor the hour. So if anyone predicts it, say, well, Jesus is going to come back next week, don't listen to him because that's against what Scripture says. But it is nothing new. I mean, how many of you remember in the 1950s, there was this epidemic called polio that shut down churches and shut down church camps and shut down schools? Anybody remember that? I know Jane Oberlinder, she did. She's the one who told me about it. She says, I was 10 years old and I was going to go to church camp. And they shut church camp down because they didn't want me to get polio, and so I had to stay away. She says, I was so disappointed I couldn't go to church camp. Anybody here remember that? Anybody here know anybody who had polio? I do. Yeah. A lot of them had braces, and they were walking around with braces or limps or something like that. Some of them became worse than that. Anybody here remember Vietnam? And how that was going to blow up, or Desert Storm, or Desert Freedom. What was it? Desert Storm, Desert, whatever it was. How many of you remember that? How many of you remember the Twin Towers that fell? And you go, oh, that's the beginning. Anybody here remember the Spanish flu? Nobody wants to admit that they're over 100 years old. Yeah, the history book. You see, some of this is nothing new. Some of it is just part of being human and living in our society. And we are in the midst of a tumultuous time right now because our nation has been shut down for 3 months. And we can agree or disagree on how that came about and everything else. I mean, every day my opinion changes as more news comes out. And so now you have all this, and then literally this week I said, there's going to be a spark, and something's going to happen, and things are going to erupt, and guess what happened? How do you praise God in the midst of that? That video I showed you, I played it a number of times. I might have even played it here already. But the interesting thing is, you can find that video on YouTube, and if you do find it on YouTube, blessed be the name, Central Church of Las Vegas, Nevada. I want you to go and I want you to read the comments. People cannot understand that. They literally say, oh yeah, praise God, praise this wonderful loving God who caused me to die of cancer, or praise this wonderful loving God who caused this, or caused this, and it was just amazing how they're mocking it because they don't understand it. But we as Christians, we praise God in the middle of it. And you look at Job, who lost his family, lost his occupation, lost his farm, lost his livelihood, lost his health, and what does he do? He praised God, he refused to sin. You look at King David here, who wrote Psalm 112. And he's praising God too. And look what all happened to King David. Some of it was his own fault. Sinned with Bathsheba, and a baby was born, and God said this baby's going to die. And the baby died. I mean, he fasted and prayed, and the baby died. I mean, what's the first thing he did? He got up and he worshiped. How can you worship in the midst of all this? So I was really debating what to share today in the service. Sometimes I think in church we ignore what's actually what the obvious is. And we don't like to give direction. And when we have an opportunity to give direction, we don't do it because we kind of want to ignore it. Well, it's pretty obvious something's happened. Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus. I don't know about Toledo, I'm assuming probably, but How can you pray in the midst of crisis? Well, let's go to Psalm 112. And I want us to look at this because this gives us, I believe this gives us a direction. Because even in the midst of struggle, I believe that Christians can be the most optimistic people out there. And we can have the most joy. And as a result of that, we can share the love of Christ with people, because in the midst of all this, they're saying, what is out there? What is the purpose of all this? And we're saying, oh, excuse me, there is a God who does care. But now how can God allow this to happen? You know what? I'm going to tell you that we've turned our backs on God. What do you expect? But all this can bring people to Christ. By the way, you want to hear some good news? I still like this corner. Oh, last night my daughter became a Christian. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. My granddaughter, I mean. We got a phone call at 9:30 at night saying, guess what? Guess what? You guys didn't even clap. It's this side. They're excited. Okay. So we start out in verse 1. What does it say? Okay, this is a psalm. Psalm 111, 112, and 113 are all basically the same tune, but there are different words to them. And so it starts out by saying the word hallelujah. Hallah. Okay, that's the root word. It's hallah, which means praise. Jah means God. It can be Fah, but a Jah, whatever it is, it's God. So the real translation is praise the Lord. And so some of these, what they start out by saying is praise the Lord. And Psalm 113, it starts out saying praise the Lord. And then the congregation is supposed to repeat back, praise the Lord. And then the leader says praise the Lord. And then the congregation repeats back, praise the Lord, three times. And I found out why. It's exactly what I do here in the church, and I didn't even realize it. They said they do that to wake the congregation up. You know how I do that? I said, good morning.
Good morning.
And I go, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It takes three times. And that's what they're doing here. He's coming out, he's saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How praise John God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And so in Psalm 112, he's saying, praise the Lord. And then it goes on and says this. Okay? Where I just lost my place. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. And so what he's saying is, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Not as fear as watching a scary movie. The word fear means I have utmost respect and reverence for him. So reverence, to revere, to have deep respect for, blessed is the man that respects the Lord and puts him first. So how do you maintain this during uncertain times? You praise the Lord and you maintain ultimate respect for him. Unfortunately, in our society, we've dumbed down who God is. And we've dumbed down who Jesus is. We've made Jesus nothing more than a buddy. He's my friend. We even sing about it. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, that's scriptural. I understand that. But in our society, we've dumbed him down to the point where he's just a buddy that can be with us. And when I'm tired of him, I can let him go. And part of that is because we don't understand what kingship is. Where you, if you were living in a society that had a king, you bowed to him irregardless of if you liked him or not. And if you didn't, you paid him honor and reverence because he was the king. And so when we revere God, what are we doing? We are giving him utmost respect. We can still be having a bad day. We can be mad at God all we want. But we still revere him because we have deep respect for who he is. And so it starts out and says, hallelujah, God. Blessed the man who fears the Lord and delights in his command. So now we have deep respect for him, and now we keep his commandments. Why do we keep his commandments? Because he says so. Parents, you know what I mean by that. You know what I mean by that. Why are you doing this? Because I said so. There are some times you don't need to explain to your kids. You just do it because I am parent. And all the parents going, I told you, I told you. So why do you do it? Because I said so. And we do it because God said so. Now there's other parts that, remember, this was written in the Old Testament. It wasn't written when the New Testament was written. A lot of times we put it in the New Testament where it shouldn't be. But we keep his commands. So David says, I keep my commands, the Old Testament law. What are you doing in the Old Testament law? Okay, you're revering God, you're being holy before God, and you're obeying him for your own personal benefit. Meaning, we have the commandments there, right? Why are the commandments there? So we might live. What happens when the commandments break down? Well, duh, look what's happening in Fort Wayne right now. True, it's probably, 100 people that are doing all of this. And I don't know if you noticed, but most of them got green hair. And don't know what a belt is. Maybe their parents would have used a belt on them, they would know what a belt was for. I'm sorry, I got a little off on that one.
Amen.
But God gave us the commandments for a number of reasons. And the part that really reflects us is this. He knows what's needed for us to live a happy, fulfilled life, and his being obedient to him. And so number two then, verse 2, then goes on and says, and his children will be mighty in the land. Each generation of the upright will be blessed. So I want to talk a little bit. There's a supernatural blessing and a temporal blessing when we're obedient to the Lord. Don't discount the fact that the Lord is working in your life, in your family. True, I understand. When the children become older, they make decisions on their own, and they will make some decisions that are against God and against you. I understand that. But also keep in mind, if you're praying for them, have you led a good example for them and whatnot? And so understand the spiritual blessing and the temporal blessing. You are the number one teachers in the lives of your kids. You are. Have any of you ever had somebody come up and say, you are just like your mom, or you are just like your dad? Okay, raise your hand if that happened, and you just want to go, nuh! How many of you just want to go, nuh, when that happened? Okay, we got this. There's this lady on Facebook, and she might be even watching me right now, but she's a friend of my mom's. And last week, she put on there, she goes, you preach just like your mom. First of all, I got a deep voice. She doesn't. And secondly is, right here, I'm going to look at her. I was in the ministry before she was. Okay, I was in the ministry for 10 to 15 years before she became a pastor. She became a pastor of Barker's Chapel United Methodist Church, Arcola United Methodist Church, and then she also became an associate pastor of Haven United Methodist. Okay, so she followed my footsteps. All right? Wouldn't say that. Mom, you can follow my footsteps instead. But You know, the funny part was, she took over Barker's Chapel, United Methodist Church, which is south of Angola, Indiana. So she became part of the Ministerium Association in Auburn, Indiana, the Gallup County Ministerium. Guess who the president was? I was my mom's boss. That was great. And then we had a guy named Don McCooley, who is now the director of the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. He was Jamaican. He used to come in and go, call my mom Reverend Mommy. He went, hey, Reverend Mommy, how are you today? You know, we would have a lot of fun with that. Okay, so originally I see that we do take on the characteristics of our family and of our parents. In a lot of ways, we do. Give them a godly example. Give them a godly example. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to verse 4. Even, and this is where I really wanted to go to, even in the darkness, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious, compassionate, and the righteous man. See what it says. Even in the darkness, we will praise the Lord. Even in the darkness, there's light for us. Even in the midst of all this that we see happening in our society, there is hope. Even in the midst of all this, because why? Because God is God. God is in charge. And even if my body is taken from me by God Almighty, my eternal home is there waiting for me, and that is a promise. I'm thinking of the book of Job, where he says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know, and I can't think of it all because I don't have it in front of me, but if my body wastes away, then I will see God. Okay. Even in the midst of uncertainty, Christians can be the most optimistic people because God is still in charge. And then it goes on and gives the next number of verses why. The righteous will never be shaken. We're not going to be shaken. We shouldn't be shaken. Why? God is in charge. Right? And this isn't our home. Eternity is our home. Right? Okay. Number 2, verse 7. And they will have no fear of bad news. Their heart are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I was... I talked to a bishop one time in the United Brethren Church, and he said, try having a job that every time the phone rings, it's bad news. This church is in trouble, this church is in trouble, this church is in trouble. And you ever had one of those days that every time the phone rang, it's like, oh, more bad news. When Polly had her brain surgery, 6 months before we were diagnosed with that, my sister-in-law dies. Of breast cancer. So my sister-in-law dies of breast cancer. My wife then has a brain tumor. About 10 months later, my dad dies. And then another 4 months later, her dad dies. And then another 6 months later, her mom dies. How we love 2010. But we don't fear bad news because God's still in charge. We don't fear bad news. It says we are steadfast. Why? Because we're trusting the Lord. We're trusting the Lord. Verse 8. Their hearts are secure. They have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. I like this. Who's our foes? But I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, Satan. All Satan does is try and destroy everything God's created, everything else. And someday we're going to look at him, because Satan's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And we're going to be next to the throne of Almighty God. We're going to be praising Jesus forever and ever. And Satan's going to be gone. And we're going to have triumph over him. Finally! And all this is done. That's why we can praise him. That's why we can hold steadfast. Verse 9. Then it goes on and says, and we have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their form will be lifted high in honor. And so because of the fact that we have faith in Jesus Christ, we then start sharing it with someone else. Sharing the blessings that we have. Now, many people take this as a financial, and that's part of it. But this is also the blessing of being going downtown Fort Wayne and cleaning up the mess that's down there that someone else created. Did you see that on the news? I did. It's on there. Afterwards, people went downtown to clean up the mess. In the midst of everything falling apart, and we're walking around saying, well, you know, this is my home, eternity is my home, you know, oh, and it's all work out. And people, non-Christians, looking at it and go, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Just on that YouTube video I just showed you, and the people underneath are commenting, says, are you nuts? Are you crazy? I guess I am, but I trust someone who's not nuts and crazy. I trust the Almighty Lord. That's hard. I'm going to be honest with you. That's hard. This church was growing financially. It was growing physically. Growing. We were chugging along. And it's like, whoa, man, this is fun. And then all of a sudden, the next week, we canceled. Try being a pastor that's very people-oriented and not having people for 2 months. Now, slowly but surely, we're coming back. I know pastors who literally said, I knew God was going to bless us, and I knew everyone was going to come back. We set up chairs in the overflow. We knew people were going to come back. 60%. And I watched them at the pastor's meetings. Why God allowed us, I do not know, but I do know that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be stronger as a result of it. I know that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be able to present the gospel even more. I know that God is in charge, and God in his own whole wisdom is going to work this thing out. What it's going to look like, I do not know, but I do know my trust is in God. It's not in Amy Ashton. It's not in President Trump. It's not in anyone else but my God Almighty. Because I'm going to tell you, when I stand in the presence of eternity, President Trump might be there. That's between him and God. But I do know that my God will be there. And I have confidence in that. Show the love and your confidence of God to those who need it. Because right now, this country needs it. We don't need another bailout plan. We need Jesus. That's what we need. Even though my flesh decays away, I will see. That's why, in the midst of the darkest hour, we see light. It's the light of God. Let us pray. So, Father, we come today, and we do thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love. We thank you for the steadfastness. We pray for Portland. We pray for our community. And, Lord, I pray for the souls of those agitated. I pray that they will see Jesus. May it be so. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Are you having some technical difficulties? Hey, Dan, can you delete the communion slide because that music is still playing? You guys can't hear it, but when I plug in, I can hear it. I apologize. There it's gone. This last time that we're going to sing this morning, I just thought it was fitting. The pastor preached about, and just what we're going through right now. Day times too. So as I sing the song, I just ask you to stay seated. faithful, so constant, so loving, and so true. So powerful in all you do. And I just think it's so amazing how even in the midst of all of the turmoil, with the coronavirus, with the riots, with everything that's going on, we can still see how steadfast God is and how he sustains us and how he brings us through all of this. And then we do need to give him glory through it all.
You know my every move.
Father, throughout this week, just remind us who you are. Remind us you're in control. Remind us you are God. Remind us that we are your children. So may your blessing be upon everyone here and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder of our little reception for our graduates back here. So make sure you take some ice cream and cake. God bless you.